welcome to another episode of the Giant Take Podcast. I am Josh, and I am joined by my co-host Alex. And as you could tell from the either title or description of this podcast, jam-packed defensive ranking episode today. Cornerback rankings, edge rankings, all in one here on this episode of the Giant Take Podcast. So sit back and enjoy. But before we do that, I'm going to send it to my co-host Alex. We have a couple things to talk about here, and then we'll get you right into those rankings. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to be here and, you know, talk a little bit about some defensive prospects, edge and cornerback, like you mentioned. And, you know, these are two positions that obviously are going to be really important for the Giants in this upcoming draft. And, you know, we'll see, you know, obviously we talk about where we have these guys ranked and in which order we would like the Giants to take them if they were all available in this hypothetical situation. But yeah, I'm doing well. Josh, how are you doing today? It's almost our spring break, so that's exciting for us.
Oh my God, and a break we need, Alex. It's been a long, long time since winter break, and that was our last one. That was all the way back in December. And now I know we all say, you know, the school year has been going fast, whatever. I mean, I guess in the long run, you're like, oh my God, it's already April, but this week is definitely going to be nice. But we're going to come back to a definitely jam-packed rest of the year with all these, like, you know, finals and AP exams and all that fun stuff. Oh, you gotta hate it, but what we do gotta love is the NFL draft, right? So let's talk about some draft stuff here. Talk about something we love, and that's the Giants and the draft. So the Giants scheduled to meet with Aiden Hutchinson today, so they probably did meet with him when we're recording this Wednesday, April 13th. And our other piece of news, the Giants hosted NC State's offensive tackle Ike McQuanu for a visit on Monday, April 11th. That's our news. you know, we had an episode for you out on Monday, which you can check out. So if you want to hear some more Giants news, because we had some more there. But when we're recording this Wednesday night, not really much more than these rankings. But again, like Alex said, we're assuming that one of these positional guys will be, you know, either an edge rusher or a cornerback will be selected by the Giants in the first or second round. I got to assume. Like one of those positions will be gone or will be taken by the Giants then, whether it's, you know, offensive tackle at 5, then edge at 7, and then cornerback second round. But I feel like at least one of the two will be selected by the end of the second round by the New York Giants. But anyway, enough confusion by my talk. Alex, are you ready? Are you ready to go?
I'm ready. I was born ready. There we go.
What do you want to go to first? You choose.
Edge. Let's go edge. I feel like that's what a lot of Giants fans, you know, I guess Sauce Gardner's kind of come up recently as a big hot topic name, but I feel like edge is really where we started. So let's do edge.
All right. So edge it is. Again, just a quick reminder. I don't know if any of our stuff is a little off or outdated. This was recorded a few days ago. But here is our top edges in the 2022 NFL draft. Yeah, they are. So we can start out with that, the special mention that you talked about. That's going to be Jermaine Johnson, 6'5", 254 pounds out of Florida State. He's a junior. And you can already start out with what his pros and cons are. And after that point, we will talk about a little blurb I have for some of these guys that happen at their combine when it comes to that kind of like a little bit of stats. We also have a player comparison for anyone who's new. And then we talk about where they could go in the draft and rank them on a scale of 1 to 10. Based on this section, it's different for each category or position, excuse me. So for the edges, we have athleticism, pass rush, run defense, and technique. And you can check out either on the podcast or on other videos. We did quarterback, running back. Is that it? No, they're unoffensive tackles. Anyway, go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, O tackles. So Jermaine Johnson, he is someone who has great length and strength. A little bit of a rhyme there. He's really good at, you know, he has quick bursts. I was trying to find the word there. He's really quick bursts on the edge. He doesn't exactly have the best bend in the class. We were talking in our 7-round mock draft for the Giants. We had them taking Josh Pascal, edge out of Kentucky in the 3rd round, I believe. And they're very similar in the way, their play style, their play types, their attributes, except Jermaine Johnson's just kind of better at everything.
So he's got great length and strength. His bend is just not really elite, which is kind of his problem. He's great against the run. You know, he always is able to hold the edge. And that's something that's always going to be valuable in the NFL level. You know, he has a variety of pass rushing moves. He, you know, he can spin inside, go outside. He does struggle with the power rush a bit, for someone who, you know, has the size that he does. He sometimes struggles in power rush technique, and just power rush in general. And his lateral agility, again, kind of similar. We're talking bend lateral agility as well. Not super great. And that's kind of where you're at with Jermaine Johnson. But certainly a guy, I think him and the next few before we get to our top two, as you can probably predict, right. I think, you know, they're all really close to each other. And you can make an argument that Jermaine Johnson could be three or he could be six as we have him here.
And I mentioned like the some stats I'll mention. I said mentioned twice there. These are from the Senior Bowl specifically. He was one of the biggest winners at the Senior Bowl. You know, let's see what I have here. Not only at the combine, he posted a 4.58 40 yard dash. He also had a 1.55 10 yard split. He was the 10th pick in whoever wrote this mock draft. I don't have the name on it specifically. I think it was from ESPN. And also, it says, It's now fair to wonder whether he'll last that long given his combination of burst strength, length, 34-inch arms, and production. And that's something that, Alex, you were mentioning going to his pros. Going into our little category here of how we rank him, his comparison to the NFL, his NFL comparison, Max Crosby, he's an early to mid first-round pick. Athleticism is an 8, pass rush an 8, run defense 8, technique a 7, which is then going to give you a 7.8 out of 10 for our first special mention, Jermaine Johnson. Moving on now to our top five. We start out with David Ajabo, 6'4", 250 pounds, Michigan junior.
Yeah, with Ajabo, obviously it was unfortunate that he got injured at his pro day. He got, I believe it was a torn Achilles, I want to say, similar injury to what Cam Akers had, right, for the Rams, right? That's where he plays for. Yeah, Cam Akers on the Rams. Ignoring his injury, he obviously didn't really get to show much at his pro day. Because of that, he's got crazy athleticism. He's just an athletic freak. You know, he's probably the most athletic edge rusher in this class. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau slightly behind. We'll get to him a bit later. He's explosive. He's got great bend. He's got, you know, he's got a great speed rush. And he will beat you around the edge 9 times out of 10. Where he struggles a bit is his technique. In terms of his power rush, he doesn't have a great variety of moves in many pass rushing moves. His run defense certainly is something to, you know, be desired. He needs to improve that at the NFL level. And, you know, he's a very raw prospect. He just started playing football a few years ago, and that's something you could definitely see. But he certainly, I'd say, in my opinion, has the most upside of any, bar Malik Willis, of any prospect in this draft class.
So now with the injury, that could have him slotting down very differently from what we have him here as an early first round pick. So just keep that in mind. His NFL comparison we have here is Chandler Jones. And honestly, Alex, I'm going to change the grade from this early first round. I think with this injury of the torn Achilles, could it be anything from a late first round to an early second round pick? He can fall to the early 30s. I think so. David Ajabo, I think it'll really lower his value, but you're shaking your head differently. That's just my opinion.
I don't think he makes it past 20, but yeah, I think he was probably a top 10 pick before the injury. I think he slides down at least 10 picks.
Hey, we'll have to wait and see for draft day, and then we can see who's right at the end of things. So, I mean, wouldn't you be happy if he falls to the second round? New York Giants take him there with our early second round pick?
I mean, I would be ecstatic, but then again, I'm not going to get myself overly excited for something I don't think is going
to
happen.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. But for his rankings, we have athleticism at a 9.5, pass rush at an 8, run defense a 6, technique a 7, totaling for also a 7.8, very similar, the same rating as Jermaine Johnson. We just kind of rank him higher. Another guy we rank higher here is number 4, Trayvon Walker, who's 6'5", 272 pounds, Georgia edge rusher, a junior from there.
Yeah, Trayvon Walker was one of those combine standouts, ran a 4.51 40-yard dash, just looked amazing in the drills. he has elite athleticism, very similar to David Ajabo. I think, you know, that's another name who's kind of like behind Ajabo, but I think he's very much, you know, up there in terms of athleticism. He has versatility. He played in the inside. He played on the outside for Georgia in that Georgia defense. And I think something that a lot of people don't mention is when you're on a winning team like that Georgia defense, it's always great to, you know, he's played around great players. He was overshadowed a lot by great players. His numbers maybe are not the best, but you saw what he did at the combine. You see bursts of it on tape. He's another really high upside guy. He's a great first step. He's great in run defense. And, you know, he's just overall a very well-rounded player. In terms of his pass rush moves, his technique, not the best. It's similar to Ajabo, maybe even a bit worse. And obviously his numbers, like I mentioned before, just not really elite enough to consider himself a top 10 pick, but now a lot of people after his outstanding combine are mocking him in that area. Definitely like Trayvon Walker. For the Giants, don't really think he's a great fit. I think you really need an, like, I don't like Trayvon Walker for the Giants. I like him as a player, but I don't like him for the Giants. It's complicated. There's various reasons for that, but this isn't, you know, why I don't want him for the Giants video. But great, great edge rusher, number four in the class for me. But yeah, great player, not for the Giants.
I know you mentioned his 4.51 blistering speed. You also got to take into account his very long arms, his length. He had the longest arms. Yeah, no prospect had longer arms on this list. A 35.5-inch length. So that's something to definitely take into consideration. For his NFL comparison, if anyone remembers, what is that, the Daniel Jones 2019 class? 2019 was Daniel Jones, if I'm correct. Rashad Gary was in that also 2019 class. I don't know if that was Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Alex, check when Daniel Jones was drafted. Or I could check it, whatever.
No, but it's 2019. Because 2020 was Andrew Thomas, so yeah, 2019. Okay.
So then great early first round. I don't know why I compared Rashad Gary, but whatever. Same draft class. You get what I mean. We also have an early first round pick here for Walker. Athleticism a 9. Run pass rush a 7. Run defense a 9. Technique a 5. And again, another 7.8 here. I know all three of them are the same, and it's like, how are you going to rank them? That's the eye test right there. When you talk about the eye test, what we see, we value Trayvon Walker at 4, Ojabo at 5, and the special mention of number 6, Jermaine Johnson. Moving on to number 3, George Karlaftis. I really like this guy, but that's also because I'm a Purdue fan, because my cousin goes there. But anyway, 6'4", 266 pounds, I'm making this about me. Purdue junior. Alex, get into it a little bit.
Yeah, with George Karlaftis, probably my favorite, like, underrated prospect in this class. I really like George Karlaftis. I think people don't like him because they don't think he has the athleticism for the NFL to be an elite edge rusher. I wouldn't say he's an athletic freak, but I think he's no slouch in the athletic department. And I think we saw that at the combine, really. You know, it wasn't like he had a bad combine whatsoever. And he looked great in the drills as well. He's got a great first step. He's got great power rush and speed rush. He's a dynamic. He can do it all. He's got great hands, probably one of the best hands, bar Aiden Hutchinson, in this class. He, you know, he is great in run defense as well. He can stop the run. He's overall very solid, well-rounded. Maybe he's not as great in run defense as someone like Trayvon Walker or, you know, some of the, you know, other top two guys that we're going to talk about in a couple minutes, but he is very well-rounded. His length is not really ideal. That's something you do have to take into account with him. And his agility, right? Maybe he's not the most agile, but I think he's agile enough to be a successful edge rusher in the NFL. I really like George Karlaftis. Think he's going to be really good. And I do believe he will go top 10. I'm fairly certain of it. I know a lot of people have him mocked in the teens, some even in the 20s. I think George Karlaftis goes earlier. I think he's probably a guy who also interviews very well. And we all know that's very much an important thing.
And I mean, like you said, something that always, you know, comes to mind when I watch him on tape is, like you said, the great first step, the burst off the line. Once that ball is snapped, he's one of the first guys to the quarterback, to the running back, you know, wherever you need him to be, he's going to get there. And he's going to get there really quick once he jumps off that line. I would say for a quarterback, you get a little scared back there in the pocket. So going to his grades here, like you said, top 10 talent, early first round. The comp we have here is Trey Hendrickson. Athleticism, a 7. Pass rush, a 9. Run defense, a 7. Technique, an 8.5. We finally get away from those 7.8s, and we go into the 8s. 8-1 for George Karloftis. Now, like Alex said, these top two guys gets really fun here. Starting out with Kayvon Thibodeau. He's got him mocked to the Giants in a few places. You know, can he slip to that 5, that 7 spot? We'll have to wait and see. 6'4", 254 pounds, Oregon junior.
Yeah, I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau is a beast. He's got great athleticism. He's got great bend. He shows great power. He's explosive. He's got, you know, he does everything well. You know, maybe power rush leaves a bit to be desired, but he can improve that at the NFL level. He's built well. It's just he's got the perfect prototypical size for an elite edge rusher. I see a guy who the only possible con for this man is hand placement sometimes. That's something you see barely, but a little bit enough to be mentionable in this review here or in this list. Obviously, another con is his work ethic. I don't really see it. I know some people are like, you know, he takes plays off, he does that. You know, I don't see it really in his tape. I can't speak for how he is as a person. Don't know him, so, you know, I can't grade him on that. Never interviewed him, never talked to him. So I'm not going to comment on that as a pro or a con. I didn't put it as a con because I don't see him taking plays off. I don't really see it. So, you know, every player eventually gets a little bit tired. I think it's silly. I think it's a bit kind of like you're going after him, kind of like Micah Parsons was slandered, let's say, a little bit last draft season. I think the same thing.
That was because of his like locker room presence, though, and his view from teammates and how he's a bad person, personally, things like that.
I mean, yeah, I guess, yeah. But then, you know, it seems,
bad locker room presence, and then we go out there and we select Kadarius Toney, who, as we know,
also is not.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he had a great relationship with the coaches or getting catches last year. So it was weird seeing that, you know, Micah Parsons slips off of the Giants draft boards because he's a bad person. But then you also draft. Anyway, this isn't, again, the Micah Parsons Kadarius Toney video, but continue.
Kayvon Thibodeau, love him. Think he's going to be great at the NFL level.
Yep.
We'll see him at his pro day. Excited to see what more he can do. I think he's going top 5. I don't think he gets to the Giants, but you know, if he does, I'm snapping him up in an instant. I have the card ready.
And you mentioned you haven't interviewed him personally. Well, the Giants have. He spoke about that at the NFL Combine. Seems like the guy perfect for a big city if the city goes down on him for not making a good play. He said he talked about that, you know, clear the mind, move on to the next game. He's been a big star. He's been in the spotlight ever since high school. So he knows how it feels, unlike some guys who just can't handle the pressure of New York. So moving on from that, you talked about, I think, his speed, 4.58 40 yard dash. What I always like to see, though, with the strength, 27 bench reps. When he's going against the offensive line, he's just pushing them. He's pushing them back, pushing, and then like shoves them away. If the running back's coming, he's like ready. He's like, goodbye. And then he tackles the running back to the ground. And they lose 2 or 3 yards. But he, you know, normally it's the offensive lineman and their job is to kind of push the edge guys or just the D line away from them, right? That's their job. And from what it looks like when Thibodeau goes against those big, heavy offensive linemen, he's the one pushing them towards the back, towards the pocket. So something I like to see there. Instead of some guys, you know, who use their speed to kind of move around, he kind of like pushes them back. Anyway, player comparison, Khalil Mack, grade, top 5 talent, early first round, athleticism a 9, pass rush a 9, run defense a 7, technique an 8. 8.4 is his total score out of 10. And we move to the number one guy. If you don't know it, now you do. Aiden Hutchinson, 6'7", 260 pounds, Michigan senior. I mean, Alex, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, he's great in the run game. His hand use, his technique is top notch. It's already NFL level, pretty close to it at least. He, you know, he's quick off the line and he's got a variety of pass rushing moves, and that's always something that's good. He can power rush, he can speed rush, whatever you want him to do, Aiden Hutchinson can do. He's just a beast. You know, everyone saw his production at Michigan, and it was truly impressive. And it really hit David Ajabo, which is hard to do considering how flashy, how athletic David Ajabo is. And David Ajabo was barely noticeable next to Aiden Hutchinson. So something to take into account as well about how good Aiden Hutchinson is, that he overshadowed David Ajabo to that extent. Some of his cons, his ankle flexibility, and he has similar athleticism to George Karloftis, I'd say, but I think he's a bit more athletic. And his bend is certainly something that maybe might be an issue, but I don't think it will be. But he certainly had a good combine, and his three cone was crazy impressive, something that shows great bend, and maybe that's not a problem based on his three cone time.
Yeah, 6.73 three cone, and then the 20-yard shuffle, 4.15, ranked 6th and 4th, respectively, regardless of position. And then you talk about it, Alex. This is a guy that I think, compared to Kayvon Thibodeau, right, who I said uses his strength to kind of push off the offensive lineman, he, in Hutchinson, is a guy who moves around them, who uses his speed and quickness to either get the sack or get the tackle, loss of yards. You know, on a running back, he's very good in run defense, like you said. And then also getting the sack, he's shifty. He's able to move around those offensive linemen. And I think it's really interesting because it's two different play styles between these top two guys, and how they get sacks, how they get tackles. And that's just in my opinion. I mean, you could see it differently, but I just think it's pretty interesting how they have two different play styles and they're ranked the top two guys in this NFL draft. The comparison, I think this is a really good one. Joey Bosa, a grade top five, at this point, top three talent, right? We see him going two a lot of the time. Early first round, athleticism an 8.5, pass rush an 8.5, run defense a 9, technique a 9. And that gives the number one edge rusher in Hutchinson in the 2022 NFL draft an 8.7 overall out of 10. All right, well, that was the top edges in the 2022 NFL draft. We hope you enjoyed that, but don't worry, it's not done yet. We got cornerbacks coming up in just a minute, but before we do that, just some quick reminders for you listeners to do. You can hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Go down, drop those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, again, or wherever you listen. Our podcast is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, I believe, Google Podcasts. To find out more places, go to shipitstudios.com/agiantake. On there, you can find out all the places to listen. You can even listen right there on the website. Follow us on Twitter and TikTok at The Giant Take Pod. Alex on Twitter at Anorian23. I'm on Twitter at Joshola29. You can also follow The Giant Take on Instagram and Facebook, The Giant Take Podcast. And with that, I think I got most of the plugs in. I always like, you know, did I get everything? I think I got everything. So enjoy the top cornerbacks in this year's 2022 NFL draft. So without further ado, Alex, I'm going to get right into it. And then we'll talk about this guy here, Andrew Booth Jr., cornerback 6, or the special mention. He is 6 foot. 194 pounds out of Clemson, a junior coming into this NFL draft. And I'll send it to you, Alex. How are you? And let us know some pros and cons here on this guy out of Clemson.
I'm doing well. I'm excited to talk about some of these corners. This is a really deep cornerback class and a lot of solid players. So I'm excited to get talking about all of them here. And, you know, a lot of, you know, possibilities for the Giants specifically to take early in the first round, or maybe late second or early second if they do fall. But here we have Andrew Booth Jr. Andrew Booth Jr., for me, he's got great length. He has a great burst and acceleration. He's got probably his biggest strength is his ball skills. You know, I would say we're not really going to do comps for these guys here, but for corners, because I kind of think it's tough to do a comp for corners. But if I were to do a comp for him, it would be Trayvon Diggs, a slightly less ball hawky Trayvon Diggs for Andrew Booth Jr. I kind of like that comparison a lot now that I just thought of it. So enjoy, everyone. And I would also say he's also really aggressive in the run game, and that's something you like to see out of your corners. He's not one of those guys who's just kind of going to sit there and watch. He's going to get his hands dirty and get involved in the run game. A couple of his issues here. He didn't participate in the combine. So that's any of the kind of test drills. I don't believe he didn't run the 40. He didn't do a whole bunch of things here.
No, so, or the pro day or pro day or pro day either.
So this is kind of indicative of the fact that he doesn't have very good long distance speed. His tackling is, despite being impactful in the running game, he's not the best tackler. So that's something that's going to need to improve at the NFL level. And like I mentioned before, his agility, his change of direction is not exactly the best either. So certainly some of his weak points, change of direction and long speed. His initial burst is good, but his long speed and agility leaves some things to be desired for sure.
And because he missed the reason he missed that time, pro day activities, NFL combine, quad injury. He's dealing with that right now. It was in pre-draft workouts, so something to keep in mind, which is why he's probably slipping down draft boards, and he's our special mention here. Moving towards his grade, probably still should slot in as that late first round pick, hopefully, if not early second round. I don't know how far this injury is going to take him down list. Athleticism, 6.5, instincts, 8.5, man coverage, 7, and zone coverage, 7.5, which brings to a total of 7.4 for Andrew Booth Jr., cornerback 6, or our special mention here. Now, we move on to the top 5, and we start out with Roger McCreary, cornerback 5, 5'11" tall, 190 pounds, Auburn. He's a senior. Alex?
Yeah, with Roger McCreary, he's probably one of my favorite players in this draft class. I know I say that a lot. I feel like I say that every single video, but
no, I'm nodding my head a lot because I was going to agree with you on that. But yeah,
I say that constantly, but I actually mean it definitely with this guy. He's great in man and press coverage. That's really what he's known for. He'll get close. He's tough off the line of scrimmage. That's definitely something you see. And he is always tight to his man. And he's definitely more of a man corner than a zone corner. So that's something you do have to keep in mind. For the Giants, maybe not a big deal with the Wink Martindale system. He has good lateral speed and agility, something that's also important for a corner. He's a solid tackler. He also, despite not being maybe a specialty zone corner per se, he is still pretty solid in zone coverage. And he's got decent ball skills as well, maybe not the same as someone like Andrew Booth Jr., some of the other guys we're going to get to a little bit later, but still solid in those areas and in those categories. In terms of his cons, he doesn't have elite athleticism, only ran a bit more than a 4.5 40 there for Roger McCreary. And sometimes he does get a little bit over aggressive and you will see him get beat. And some of the better quarterbacks will be able to take advantage of him if he doesn't fix that in the NFL level. But Roger McCreary, maybe not the most big athletic freak, a little bit undersized, but a really good player who I think will be really solid. Maybe he's not going to be an elite corner, but I think he's going to be one of those guys who he'll be a strong CB2 for his entire NFL career.
Yeah, a similar con with McCreary with the sometimes like overcommitting, sort of similar to Booth when I saw watching his film, his con of like kind of not overcommitted, but he sometimes gets a little greedy and wants the ball, wants to get those pass deflections that I feel like, that's some stuff. That's a similar con between all college players and something that they'll most likely improve at the NFL level. McCreary had a total of 35 tackles, 10 tackles for loss, 6 interceptions, 30 passes deflected. Also 1 pick 6 at his time with Auburn, named a first team All-American by the AP after his final year at Auburn. So we now move into his grade, another late first round pick here. Athleticism 6.5, instinct 7.5, man coverage an 8.5, and then zone coverage a 7.5, putting our number 5 cornerback, Roger McCreary, at a 7.4 out of 10. We move to cornerback 4, Khalir Alam, I believe is how you say his last
Khalir
name,
or Alam. Alam. Double I think, right? Yeah, double
I. Khalir Elam. Khalir Elam, 6'1", 191 pounds, Florida, and I believe that University of, right? So a junior from the University of Florida.
Yeah, Elam is kind of a guy I wasn't familiar with until very, very recently, but I was watching a bit of his tape and I was certainly impressed. He's a great tackler. He's aggressive, similar to McCreary. He's very tight to his man in man coverage. But I feel like he's maybe a tiny bit better in zone coverage. So that's something maybe that is an advantage. Obviously, we have him higher or more highly ranked than Roger McCreary. He's got great speed and athleticism, and that's really what sets him apart. He ran a 4.39 40. He's certainly quick. He's got great size and length at 6'1", 191 pounds, like you mentioned. And he's just a really solid corner all around. Maybe not as strong in one facet, whether it's man coverage or zone coverage, but he's got all the physical tools to be very good at the NFL level. Couple of cons with him. In some of the film I've watched, in some of the run defense, plays, he almost seems like not interested in stopping the run. So that's something that maybe he needs to work on a bit, get a little bit more excited in the run game. And he's also, like we mentioned with the last couple, sometimes a bit over aggressive, and that may come back to haunt him at the NFL level. Again, needs to be a little bit more disciplined when he moves out of college. So something to keep an eye out for, and defensive coordinators and defensive back coaches will need to help him with when he gets to the next level.
It's funny you say that, Alex, about the running, the running back plays, or the plays involving a run play. One of the top three guys also I feel like that's just a cornerback thing. When I was watching film on all the top three guys who we'll go to very soon, there were just some plays where it was a run play, and they just didn't look like they were involved in it or even wanted to get involved at all. They're just like, all right, my linebackers, defensive linemen got that. And I think that has to do with trust in the defense. It also can mean they're tired from the play or two plays before, three plays before. But yeah, it's something funny that you noted on. So I just wanted to kind of circle back to that for a second. His career stats in 30 games played: 78 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, 20 passes defended, and 5 interceptions. So moving to his grade, a mid to late first round pick, athleticism 8, instinct 7, man coverage 8, zone coverage 7.5, which totals out to a 7.6 for Kaiir Elam, our cornerback 3. Cornerback four. Now on to our cornerback three. Let's do that now. Trent McDuffie, the 5'11", 193-pound Washington senior. Alex, what's the report on him?
So Trent McDuffie's an interesting one. I've seen people have him as high as CB1 and as low as CB6. So he's certainly someone that's kind of opinionated. People have different opinions about. We have him here right smack in the middle of those two numbers at number 3. He's a great run defender. He definitely gets involved in the run game, and he does defend the run. He's a good tackler. He's solid in man and zone. I feel like he's probably the most even in man and zone out of any corner in this class. He's got good ball skills and anticipation. Maybe not as good as someone like Booth or some other players that we're going to get to before the end of this video. But certainly good in that aspect as well. Good instincts. He's also a good athlete, and that's something that's important. He's not like a insane athlete, but he's certainly an above average athlete. He doesn't have great length. That's one of his cons. He's a little bit undersized, Trent McDuffie. So something that may impact him at the next level. Doesn't really project to be a slot guy, despite his size. None of these guys really are. And again, the fun one, a little bit over aggressive at times. I want to, maybe it's the same for all of these guys, but you still want to put it on there because in college, sometimes a lot of these corners are a little bit over aggressive. And that's something that you still need to mention, even if it's true for a lot of them. So still put that on the list here. But I like McDuffie a lot, and we'll see how he does at the next level. But we have him here as CB3.
This guy's got a lot of tackles, 71 in his career, or 94 in his career total, 71 solo tackles. He has 4.5 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 2 interceptions, and 3 forced fumbles. Now moving on to his grade, mid first round pick, athleticism 7.5, instincts 8, man coverage 8, zone coverage 8, totaling out to a 7.9 out of 10. For now, our cornerback 3, Trent McDuffie. We'll go from 3 to 2. Can I count down? Yes, I can. Derek Stingley Jr. I would say these top two guys before, a month or two ago, were kind of debating who's number one, who's number two. Now the clear cut number one and number two on most lists is the same, although I still see Stingley Jr.
at number one on some lists out there. 6'1", 195 pounds, junior, coming from LSU.
Yeah. A certain someone who is at number one ended up running a 4.4 40 at 6'3", and that made it kind of a little bit of a different story, which no one expected him to run that quick, if we're being honest with ourselves. So it is a little bit different. Stingley for me is someone who's really weird to evaluate, because you're really just going off his freshman season. And that obviously was, what, 2 years ago now? Tough, right? You don't know. He's dealt with injuries, and I think that will bring him down, right? Injuries are something that linger. They're not something that go away. Sometimes, you know, I'll get to this in a minute, but sometimes there's been reports of a little bit of laziness on the part of Derek Stingley Jr. You know, can't speak to that myself, can only speak to what I see on the field and on the tape. In his freshman year, you don't really see that. In later years, sophomore, junior, a little bit. But then again, maybe is that some injury fatigue, stuff like that? You don't really know. But I want to get to his pros first. He's got great speed. He's physical, like a couple of the other guys we've mentioned, but he's extremely physical, and he was the best corner in the country as a freshman. And that's something, you know, you don't see a lot from freshman corners. He's got great ball skills and anticipation. His instincts are definitely top tier, and he's good in man and zone coverage, but definitely specializes in man. He does, like I mentioned before, seem sometimes a little bit fatigued slash lazy on tape. And again, like I mentioned before, only 1 year of solid tape and the injury history make him a really, really tough grade. Probably one of those guys that you could have probably as a third round pick if you really wanted to, or you could have him as an early first round top five talent. We're kind of in between, I guess. But Derek Stingley Jr., a really interesting prospect. I'm going to be fascinated to see where he goes in the draft.
And now going into his stats a little bit, total of 73 tackles, seven tackles for loss, zero sacks, six interceptions, and two forced fumbles. We now move into Stingley's grades here, starting with, he's an early first round pick. I would say early to mid first round pick. Athleticism an 8, instincts 8, man coverage 8.5, and zone coverage 8.5, totaling up to an 8.0. for our cornerback 2, Derek Stingley Jr. Now, on to our cornerback 1. If you didn't know, well, you should check out the most recent video before this, or like 2 or 3 videos ago now, on Ahmad Sauce Gardner, which is out. A complete draft profile on him I did a couple of days ago, so you can definitely go check that out. And we're going to talk about him here now, because he's the cornerback 1 on this list. 6'3", 200 pounds, a junior out of Cincinnati.
What this guy does at 6'3", 200 pounds, runs a 4.4 40, has, you know, one of the bigger lengths we've ever seen coming out of the draft. It's just truly impressive for this guy, and he really deserves the Sauce nickname for sure. He's great in man and zone coverage, but again, really specializes in man coverage. Zero touchdowns allowed in his entire collegiate career. He's also a solid tackler. He's effective in the run game. He's not scared to tackle in the run game and get his hands dirty. Like I mentioned before, great length again, and he's got great ball skills. He's someone who gets interceptions. He has a nose for the ball. That's what I kind of was looking to say there. Certainly got a nose for the ball. Cons, really only one here. He does get beat over the top at times. Maybe, I wouldn't say necessarily he doesn't have the speed, because we saw he ran the 4.4 40, but maybe he doesn't have that long distance speed where he does get beat over the top. So that might be a concern against some of these really fast receivers that you have in the NFL. And that's something that's a con for him. And then he is a little bit touchy. He could get penalized in the NFL a bit more than he did in college as well. So something to think about, but really like Sauce Gardner. And I'm, you know, excited to see where he goes as well. And I think the Giants may be a possible destination.
I'm going to take what I have from the video here so I don't have to look for more information. In his true freshman year, he had 31 tackles and 3 interceptions, 2 of which he returned for touchdowns. He also tallied 11 pass defended and 8 pass breakups. And then in 2020, that led him to be the top of his depth chart. And then in 2021, he was a consensus All-American, the ACC Defensive Player of the Year in all 3 seasons. He was an All-American, I believe, in 2019, 2020, and 2021. He was all first team AC. Oh, I think in all 3 seasons, 2019, 2020, and 2021, Gardner was all first team ACC. So basically a three-time first team all say ACC for Ahmad Sauce Gardner. And then got the nickname Sauce from his love of sauce by his youth football coach when he was 6 years old. So that's something I found out there when doing research for that video. His grade, he's a top 10 talent, early first round pick. We had him going to the New York Giants with their seventh pick in our 1.0 mock draft. Got a YouTube comment about it. Saying we don't need cornerbacks. We don't need cornerbacks. I already addressed that in the video, but I can do it again now. The Giants still need cornerbacks. Okay. They do. Whether you want to admit it or not. I mean, Alex, you can really speak on it if you want to. I think it's pretty obvious, but, anyway, you got me shaking my head over that. Anyway, athleticism, 7.5, instincts, 9, man coverage, 9.5, zone coverage, 8, tallying out to a total of 8.5 out of 10 for our cornerback number one.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.